Welcome to the Key Hire Small Business Podcast, your go-to resource for tackling challenges and empowering small business owners to scale successfully. Our mission is to help unlock your business's full potential. My name's Corey Harlock, and I'll be your host. Now, I know a lot of you out there, when you create your business, want to do better. You want to make more money. You want to build stability. But what are you really working towards? Are you working towards having a business to build a lifestyle for your family? Or are you working on having your family build a business that impacts community? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Super happy. First of all, welcome to the Key Hire Small Business Podcast. My name is Corey Harlock. I'm the creator of Key Hire, and I'll be your host today. Today, we have a super interesting conversation for you. We're going to be speaking with Rob Ferguson from the Ferguson Alliance. They've been around for about 14 years. Rob's has a very interesting business, and they work with exclusively family-run business, where Key Hire works exclusively with small businesses. He's right in the family side. He has 30 years of experience being executive in public and private companies. He's held CEO positions. He's currently sitting on the board of one of a family business, but has sat on the board of, probably 12 or more different companies. I don't know if any public or I know private, but we can flesh out if he's been on any public companies as well. But Rob brings a wealth of knowledge around kind of how to operate and build towards the future. The one thing we definitely share in common is that bigger goal of serving the community, right? Being successful so you can be successful, your employees can be successful, their families can share in that success, and then through that success, you can make your communities better. So without further ado, let's bring on Rob Ferguson. Hey, Rob, welcome.
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. It's my pleasure. It's been a while. I think the last time we connected, we had lunch a while back and got a chance to catch up. But I thought, you know, we're working with these small business owners and this is right in your wheelhouse. And I thought, man, you could bring so much to the table for these people. So we have a small topic today. We're going to deal with, you know, a small percentage of your knowledge, but we're going to dig into, you know, family first business or business first family. And so just, you know, take 30 seconds and give us a little bit more. I gave a brief intro into who you really are. If you want to add any color to that, go ahead.
No, I thought you did a good job. I appreciate it. I'm fully passionate about family businesses. I think in my career, my first 30 years that you talked about, I thought I was going to stay as an executive or CEO in institutionalized businesses. I ended up becoming a CEO of a privately held 100-year-old business really enjoyed that. And then I was sitting on a board for another 100-year-old family business and learned the ins and outs of what works and what doesn't work. And through that and through my research, I guess just to underscore why I'm so passionate about family businesses is that I discovered a very disturbing trend with family businesses. And that trend is they are living shorter life cycles. So in the 1950s, the average life of a business, now back in that time, they didn't distinguish between family and non-family business. But in the 1950s, the average was 60 years, okay? In 2022, the lifespan for a family business has dropped to 24 years.
Whoa, that's
significant. Now compare, and we can compare that to S&P 500, which at the same time is 15 years is the average. Okay. So when I learned that, I thought, wow, this is a really big issue to work on. Particularly when we know that 90% of all the businesses in North America are family owned. That's a significant, staggering number.
Yeah. And I think on the side of that, a lot of people don't realize, you know, a family owned business could be a sole proprietor who's out there running a plumbing company and he's a plumber as well, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And that makes up a big chunk of that. And then as you gain more employees, am I correct in that kind of the percentage of the businesses gets smaller. The larger the employee count, the smaller the percentage of companies on that spectrum.
Well, yeah, so true. Let's test that out because I have the data on that. So if 90% of the businesses in North America are family owned, in the United States, 35% of the Fortune 500 companies are family controlled.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So family business is a big deal. It's a really big deal.
Yeah.
And the other alarming statistics is that the life cycle of family businesses, what's happening is between the first generation to the second generation, 60% fail to transition to the next generation.
And from the first generation to second generation.
Yeah, from the first generation through the end of the second generation, only 40% make it. Okay. And then to go through the third generation, it declines even more. It declines to 12%.
So I was always under the impression it was the third generation where the real drop off was, but you're saying it's kind of at the end of the second, beginning of the third is where we're seeing the biggest drop off.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. And then it drops off to 3% or less when you get to the fourth generation. And I was in two family businesses that were fifth generation, and that's like 1% or less. So it's really difficult to transition a family business from one generation to the next. And so that's where we've done a lot of research trying to better understand that. And that's where we came up with our very first question. Whenever we get a new client, we ask them, are you a family first business or a business first family?
Hey, it's Corey. And if you like what you're hearing, give this episode a thumbs up and subscribe or follow to get reminders of new episodes of the Key Hire Small Business Podcast.
Awesome. And that is our topic for today. So give us a little background on what do you mean when you ask that question? What are you looking for?
Well, sometimes it takes our clients two or three meetings to answer it. It sounds like a very simple question because they ask the same thing, just what you asked. And so we use a Socratic method here at Ferguson Alliance. So we help them answer that question for themselves. But the Cliff Notes are just, it's not valued centered. We will have a lot of our first time clients think, oh, you're asking where our values are. You know, and a lot of clients will say, well, we're a God family business type culture. And we have to steer them. Well, no, this isn't a value based question. This is a question of a matter of where you put your most senior priority.
Right.
Is your priority focused around creating jobs for your family, providing income for your family, or is your priority focused on creating value and jobs for your business and a place of prosperity and creating a longer legacy, so to speak? So those are kind of the distinctions.
So I can almost hear people that are listening to this saying, what's the right answer?
Yes, that's the second question everybody knows from us. And there is no right answer. It's whatever answer fits you. That's what's important. Family first businesses are very important to our economy. And we engage with family first businesses every day as consumers. It can be your local dry cleaners. It can be your restaurant, but it can also be as big as a private bank. It doesn't matter about size or type of industry. It just matters about what's the priority. So when I was hired to be the CEO of this family business, it was an industrial packaging business. They had, as fifth generation, 17 cousins were involved. And the
company. That sounds like fun, Rob.
Yep, it was a lot of fun. and my job was to turn the company around. It was losing money. And the family decided it wanted to just sell the business The family was done with the business, so to speak. So they were definitely a family first business. Even though they were in excess of $100 million in annual revenue, had probably, I think we had 300 employees. So it was a nice size regional business, but they were family first. And so when I started as a CEO, we had to answer that question from a board of directors perspective.
Right.
In order for me then to be effective at turning the business around.
And so I just want to go back because I thought, so you were brought in as the CEO.
Yes.
Correct? Were you the first non-family member to lead that company?
Yes, that is correct.
And did they as a family kind of say, no one put their hand up and said, I want to take this on. So they said, or did they all sit around and say, we don't have the tools within the family to lead this company.
They had, this family was wise enough to have a board. They had a functioning board and they had one independent director on that board who served as a chairman of the board. And then there was, I think four family members on the board. Out of the 17.
Right.
So they took it to a vote. One of the family members wanted to be the CEO or thought they could be the CEO. The problem was this was the first time in their 100-year history that they have been underperforming. Revenues had declined 25%. Profitability had declined to negative. So they were definitely moving closer and closer, unfortunately, to the zone of insolvency. And that's when the board, with the direction of the independent director, decided they needed to bring in a professional non-family member to turn the business around and then sell the business.
Okay, so that's what you were brought in to kind
of. That's what I was brought in to do.
Yeah. So they were all they were at the point where they just wanted to take money off the table and kind of.
Yeah. And just, because the family, there was three family branches, so to speak, and they were all becoming dysfunctional. And you can imagine, a lot of cousins involved and a lot of emotions.
So I have to believe, and in my experience, I mean, dealing with family or just small business owners, independent operators, you get into this kind of, you read a lot of books and there's a lot of gurus and experts out there and they tell you what to do. And people kind of have these, their vision is just to sell more, do more, be more, all of those different things. And so when you're asking yourself this question, are we a family first business or a business first family? When people are going through this process, because I think that distinction, I don't think those two worlds can live together. You may get a little crossover, but my feeling is you can't be both wholeheartedly. Is that accurate?
Yes. You have to make a choice and it can change over the, where the business is in its life cycle. Right. So if it's a startup business, it's probably 9.5 times out of 10, a family first business, right? It's just how do I pay my credit cards? How do I put groceries on the table? I had this idea, I'm trying to launch it. And as it grows, as it matures through the life cycle, it begins to add more structure with more people, right? And you know this, as you're starting to hire, well, now I gotta have a payroll system. I gotta put in some management practices. So same thing is that, business is going along its life cycle, it does need to evolve in its philosophy as well.
Right.
And usually about the time that business is matured to a place that it has stalled.
Right.
Okay. It's not growing like it once was. Its product is doing fine. Its profitability is okay. But it has just stalled. Now that can happen at any revenue size, but it stalls because of where the family leadership is with their ability to scale. And the reason is because I want to go back to something you said about going back and forth about doing and having. And well, that's the issue, is these businesses get stuck in, well, what do I have to have? I have to have more revenue. Okay, well, what do I need to do? I need to go get more salespeople. Okay, now I have to have more revenue. What do I need to do? I guess I need to have more salespeople. Oh, but I don't have enough products. So what do I have to have? Oh, I have to have more. So they get stuck in this, what I call the have-do loop, back and forth. Right. And what we do is we help the families put context to the have-do by asking that question, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a family-first business and you define it what it is? Or do you want to be a business-first family and you define it what it is?
Right.
And you see, once that statement of B is declared, now you know what you have to have, and now you know what you need to do. And you can break that stagnant cycle and start going and growing again.
Right. And it, the action plan for either side of that is very different.
You know, that is correct. Yes.
So in my experience, a lot of times that transition from the family first business, the business first family, comes from that unexpected success, right?
Yes, I
say this all the time. We go out and we start a business. We hire our neighbor. We hire our in-laws. We hire our neighbor's friends. And everyone does everything.
Yeah.
And they all have fingers in pies, because that's what you do when you start a small business, right? Unless you're raising funds and you're going out and doing this big tech venture or something. But eventually, if everyone does what they're supposed to do, the revenue or the output outgrows the capabilities and ability of people inside the business.
That's correct.
And what we call it becomes a capacity issue, right? There's the business is bigger than the collective experience of the people leading it. And they don't know how to build a better process and procedure to do that. And so I think we use different terminology, but we're describing the same phenomenon, right? And that would become that crux where it's like, okay, do we just want to be what we are and kind of make a nice business and live the lives we're living? Or do we want to transition into creating a corporate structure and a real organization chart with a growth plan and all that good stuff? Am I on the right track?
You are. And because we believe that only business first families can have their business and their legacy live forever. And a family first business that can't, because you're limited to whoever who is in control of that family first business. Now it could transition to another generation, but it can't live forever. Remember, what our real passion is helping these family businesses extend their life cycle. We're trying to reverse that trend. So that's why we help these businesses either make the choice, it's up to them, but make the choice to be a business first family and help them put the processes, people, and systems in place to do that. Or if they make the choice not to be, that's fine. We'll probably give them some other resources to help them wherever they need the help. But that doesn't serve up to what our greater good mission is helping these family businesses can live a very long and prosperous life.
Okay. And so then my next kind of thought goes to, so you ask them this question and they say, well, we want to be a business first family.
Right.
Then you need to do an inventory of your talent and capacity and experience inside that business.
Right.
And I'm assuming some hard decisions need to be made, like bringing in someone from the outside to maybe consult or direct or lead and mentor or whatever that is, which can be hard, especially when you have, like you've outlined before, possibly a couple different family members. People see themselves in different, they have a romanced version of where they belong in that business, because I've been here for 20 years, I should lead it. But the biggest business they've ever worked in is that business yesterday, right?
Yes.
And so they're not, their capacity, they're already kind of maxed out. So those have to be hard conversations to have from someone coming in, from your perspective, to sit people down and say, okay, you want to be a business first family, but let's let's assess what we have internally here and what moves we have to make.
Well, actually, well, first, the step right before that we do is say, is how do you want to define your business versus family? So we walk them through that process of discovering for themselves what the distinction is, so they can articulate it to other family members, their employees, their community, whoever are the important stakeholders of their business. It has to be theirs. It has to be their definition of what they mean. But this, what this is doing is we're working with the lead shareholders of the family business. It could be just one, or it could be five or six. And we're getting alignment and clarity. And that's what leadership is all about, is being able to align an organization on a very clear path to a future destination. And so they have to get really good at defining that, being able to message that into their stakeholder community. We actually do this little thing, and it takes several meetings to get to that choice and then definition. And then we go around, we call it a slap the table moment, where everybody sitting around the table literally and physically will slap the table that it's final. And it just brings everyone together when they were probably not together. And it becomes part of their ethos. And then we can start working on governance practices, management systems, hiring practices, compensation, all those key decisions that I know you get involved in. There's many that you get involved in as well, are all branched off of that one simple choice to, are you a family first or business first family?
And I guess it's a great way to bring people back to center if they start getting off, and you can say, well, hold on.
That's right.
That sounds right. Like
yep.
What we used to do, right? But that's right. We've made that shift.
So or we'll even just ask, what you're arguing for or what you're advocating for, is that fit in your definition of a business first family?
Yeah.
And then they go, well, no, it doesn't. Okay, I
can imagine you have to say that a lot in the beginning, because people are kind of entrenched in their belief system.
Yes.
So
yes.
If someone doesn't have someone with the knowledge and patience of a Rob Ferguson to guide them through this process, what would you say are kind of the top two or three mistakes a family might make when they're trying to, maybe they have an offsite strategy meeting about the future of the company? What are some of the common mistakes or pitfalls you've seen people fall into? Because I think this is super valuable. People are probably, how many families have you seen say, let's go, we're going to go to Mexico. We're going to have a family meeting and decide what we're going to do with the company. And they come back with maybe not the most, not the best plan or most optimum plan.
Well, I think what most families do is they ignore the conversation. They would rather talk about the what and maybe even the how, but they don't want to talk about the who we are. You know, what are we striving to be? And the real, admiration I have for family businesses is they tend to be longer term focused. And they will tend to take bigger risk for the future growth of the business than, say, a non-family business. But to get there, they have to have this conversation. So somebody in the family has got to light the fuse, so to speak, have the hard conversation to be non-judgmental and to be patient with asking that question and going through the process. Because that's the biggest problem that we see in family businesses is it's usually around money and it's usually around alignment of where we're going. So those are, in many ways, those are tactical in nature if you don't know what you're trying to become.
Right.
And so you're going to always have those dissension and disagreements around, well, where do we invest the money? Are we going to create liquidity for the shareholders, or are we going to invest it back in the business to grow? Are we going to maintain status quo, or do we want to go out and acquire a new business or a new product line? You've got to, I think somebody's got to ignite that conversation or that thinking process. It's very challenging one to do. If you can do it without a professional facilitator, I really tip my hat. And maybe you can do that, just talking amongst a smaller group of family members. But to really get to the decision and the definition process, it's going to take some, anybody is going to have some outside professional facilitation to get through that.
In my experience, I've seen it a number of times where a second generation owner will take over, and they have, they've watched the business for years, and maybe it's been the first generation owner was a family first business, and their vision is a business first family. And so they come out and they're hard charging and they're doing all these things and they run into problems. And they obviously haven't articulated that, right? They haven't gone through the right process. But then often what we see often, the roadblocks are the legacy employees who are saying, well, that's not the way we do things here. Or the business has been running at a level because that's the capacity and experience of these legacy employees. And that's kind of, they keep it right there because they're comfortable. And if it gets too high, they know they're going to have to work harder, things fall apart, all that good stuff. So what kind of advice might you have for the next generation, whatever it might be, coming in, who is, how would they understand they are changing that philosophy, and how can they kind of send that message in a more intentional and receivable way?
Yeah, well, you got to have a really well-crafted communication, and you have to have a process for repeating yourself through the organization and demonstrating the examples of why the change and why not the change, where the change isn't occurring and why we got to change it. So that's where I get back to. Remember I said the slap the table moment. Right. That slap the table moment, that's the cornerstone of the communication that goes out. And it talks about why we are a business first family. What does that, what does that mean to you as an employee that we've made this choice? What does it mean to our suppliers? What does it mean to our customers? What does it mean to our community that we have consciously made this choice that we are transitioning to become a business first family? That has to be baked in there. And then, well, what's going to be different? Okay. This is what we're going to stop doing, and this is what we're going to start doing. And that has to be part of the communication. And then the family has to live it. The family shareholders have to live it. The management, the non-family member employees all live that to bring it alive.
Right. And I think that you said the communication is key. And oftentimes what happens is these next generation owners come in and it's who they are and what they want to do, but they forget that there is an entrenched way of doing things, and they struggle to understand, well, why don't they want to do this? Why don't people want to grow the company? Why can't they deliver?
Yes. And
it's a lack of understanding, but oftentimes just a lack of ability as well. People just don't have that capacity to grow the business.
Well, that also, but we see that there's a significant harm to the family unit by trying to force it. Let's use your example. Second generations come in. There's been a good succession plan, and they're now wanting to make the change. And most likely the patriarch, the It still has some shares, is probably still sitting on the board. But the legacy employees that have been there for 25 years, you know, they have their set way of doing things. Well, that second generation who's now the new leader is going against an insurmountable force. And so brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers start coming into conflict. I don't know why you're making this change. I don't know why you're hiring these people that we don't know. I don't know why you terminated this employee. She's been with us for 25 years and she used to babysit you when you were a child.
That's a hard decision to make.
But you have, it's not when you define who you're going to be. It is when it's not shared. It's not, there's not full alignment and agreement around it.
Yeah.
Then it's very, very difficult. And that's what happens if that's missing. We see a tremendous amount of dysfunctionality between family members and a lot of confusion with the employees and the marketplace.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's well said. And I think a lot of family businesses live that because it's just this, people come in and when they finally get a chance to take the reins, they want to have impact and they want to show they deserve that role and they want to make the company better. Their motivations are all the right motivations. I don't think anyone comes in there with the intent to like just with the wrong intent. But you get back to getting everyone aligned and making sure. I mean, I say it all the time, like small business owners, family businesses, these are great people doing the best job they can. And I never, ever want to speak poorly of them because I understand that, but the dynamic of that shift is so important. And like you said, if it's not done correctly, if they don't have the tools to make that transition, it can tear families apart. You know, I had a client way, way back when, and I reconnected with him, and he inherited the business from his father, took it to new heights. They weren't very aligned. There caused a little bit of turmoil in the family. And finally, you know, he just had a heart to heart with his father and said, like, look, what do we need to do to make this right? How I want to continue on with the business and we've got it going. And you might be the one person that's kind of throwing up the roadblocks for me here. So how I want to save the relationship more than the business here at this point. Like they were two separate issues and they were able to come to terms and things are great. Now the business is thriving. But it took some time and some pain.
Yes.
To get to that point. And had you know, the second generation owner not had the courage to have the conversation, they could have lost a relationship too.
That's right. Totally agree. See that all the time. All the time. Yeah.
And that's like the worst outcome, right? So
it is. Yeah.
All right. So Rob, the information has been incredible. So if someone, I think we've talked about it from the do not side, but if there is someone out here listening, who's thinking, oh man, that sounds like me. I need to get this ship pointed back in the right direction. What would you say are the first kind of 1, 2, 3 steps someone should take right now if they're feeling like this? They're maybe a second generation owner coming in, they're feeling this friction, they're saying, yep. Other than calling you, and we'll get your information out here in a second, but other than calling you, what are kind of the first steps they should take to kind of right the ship?
Well, the first thing is somebody's got to step into that leadership role. You just gave an example of one of your past clients, whether it's the second gen or third gen, somebody's got to stand up and say, we've got to address this issue of being really clear on who we are and where we're going. And just start with those questions. Who do we intend to be in the next 10 years? All right. Who are we today? And what are the gaps to get us there? Have that conversation. We call that leadershipping. We turn the noun leader into a verb. And so anybody can provide leadershiping, and that's what we define leadershiping is bringing the future to the present. So who do we want to be in the next decade? All right. And where are we today? So what are the gaps? Having that conversation will eventually help lead into part of who do we want to be? Well, do we want to be a business first or family first business? You know, that you've got to start having that conversation and get that definition going. It's a hard one to have. And you need somebody that's trained in helping you get through that. And to your story, the second generation and the first generation did get it resolved, which is great. Mm-hmm. So that's where you're really trying to go, is you want to make sure that there's a lot of clarity around where we're going and why we are going there, and what does it mean to us as shareholders, and what does it mean to our employees and other stakeholders.
I think I heard you say something really important. Get a third party who is kind of unbiased, does not have a dog in this fight to negotiate this.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get a family member who has knowledge of the business and a closer relationship on one side than the other to negotiate this. That sounds like it probably wouldn't work.
It's really hard. Let's face it. I tip my hat to family businesses. Business, whether you're family or non-family, is hard, right? Yeah. You're trying to keep your customers happy, your employees happy, and your shareholders happy. And they're always seem to be in conflict with one another. That's business. But then you add the dynamic nature of family on top of that, okay, now your boss is the cousin who always got the good Christmas gift. You know, that is a whole nother dimension of difficulty. And so that's why these third party advocates for doing what is best, as opposed to doing what is right for an individual,
right,
can help you get to these answers and help these family businesses make the transition from a family first to a business first.
Awesome. So Rob, I'm a business owner. I'm out there thinking, man, I need to talk to this guy and get some help. How can we get in touch with you, Rob?
I'm on LinkedIn, so you can connect with me there. Also, we have our website that you can go to, ferguson-alliance.com. And then lastly, we have a toll-free number. You can give us a call at that toll-free number, 833-215-6252, and we'd be happy to visit with you.
Awesome. This has been great. So much valuable information. I know you're busy, and I definitely appreciate you carving out some time to speak with us today. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks, Corey. I enjoyed it.
Hey, me too. Me too. It's been great.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We appreciate your support. If you enjoyed the show, we would love it if you could take a moment to leave us a review. And don't forget to subscribe or follow to stay up to date with all the latest episodes as they're released. Discover how Key Hire supports small business owners with talent planning and acquisition by exploring our YouTube channel or LinkedIn page. For comprehensive information, visit our website at www.keyhire.solutions, where you can also sign up for a complimentary consultation to discuss any talent, experience, or capacity problems that keep you awake at night. Until next time, stop grinding and start growing.